This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn. That is Glenn West. We're coming back to you once again on a Tuesday. We're recording this on Tuesday morning. You can be listening to it whenever and wherever. We appreciate the support, whether it's on YouTube, you're watching this, make sure you hit like and subscribe. And then if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you might be listening, we appreciate you over there. Give us a follow in that feed too. Glenn, man, we're getting to the point of the year where we've now entered the month of May. I hope you had a good Cinco de Mayo, by the way. Anything special? Any big plans, or was it just kind of a hangout? And
it was a hangout
baseball series.
It was a hangout. It was a good weekend overall over at Alex Box. I know you caught the Sunday game for us, and I caught the first couple, but the two wins, I should say. I caught the two wins, and you caught the loss. So, I mean, other than watching that fifth inning, spoiler alert, I accidentally turned on the game in the fifth inning right when it got bad. So I turned it off right after and nothing got better. So I'll take the blame on that game three loss for sure. Really solid weekend. And, we'll touch on a little bit more baseball later. There's other things we want to talk about here over the next several minutes. But, good weekend. Nothing. Didn't have any big blowout, though, for Cinco de Mayo. What about you? And the baby.
We finished moving into the house. That has been like the biggest thing. It took me, my father-in-law and I, 3 hours to put together a crib, a dresser, and we got this little rocking chair done. We got the nursery is done. I shot you a picture. I should have shot you a before and a after. So we are done. We are now 3.5 weeks away from the due date. So we're
awesome.
Closing time, man. It's LSU baseball's entering crunch time, the home stretch. We are now in the home stretch of this too. So and look, wouldn't everyone be happy if LSU made some incredible run and we're sitting there with like a two or 3 week old watching this team with a chance to go to Omaha? Hey, look, it'd be kind of fun.
It'll be fun.
So we'll see what happens. But the big news coming out of last weekend, Glenn, and then kind of just going into this week is, I'm going to use this analogy, kind of a swing and miss. We'll stay with the baseball theme. From this, LSU team in securing the perceived top tier defensive line transfer portal commitments. We obviously saw a multitude of names that LSU was interested in, actually got on campus. They choose to go elsewhere. And Glenn, instead of kind of, really diving into those decisions, I mean, look, they made their decisions. They made the decisions to go to programs that are going to give them a chance to win, obviously give them a chance to develop. So it is what it is. Instead of harping on those, how do you feel, because it's been a consensus around our board that whether it's NIL, whether it's certain things, what other schools can offer NIL/opportunity, I don't know. We said this the other day. We've said this on multiple podcasts. LSU offers probably some of the best opportunity you could want if you're a defensive lineman. That has not been enough to get the perceived, like I said, top-tier talent at the position. So before we get into some of the names that they're going to kind of look to this week and maybe want to continue to wrap up, your feelings coming out of last week and, should fans be concerned about the lack of being able to close the deal, per se, with some of the top portal talent?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, right? Because, you hear things and you kind of look at maybe what some of these schools are dishing out to these players, and you totally get it. I mean, like we knew coming into this spring here that this was going to be a very competitive, very kind of aggressive type of deal at defensive tackle. We thought there might be some talent that entered that would be kind of that instant plug and play starter kind of guys, and those guys entered. And from what we understand, LSU was very aggressive in trying to get, you know, both Demonic Williams and Simeon Barrow. Those were kind of the two that they had pegged mm-hmm. as kind of on the top of their board here for defensive tackle. And we had heard that LSU was very aggressive in both of those pitches. They had both of those guys on campus, like you mentioned. But look, I mean, they also explored their other options, and, you know, kudos to them. They're not only going to go to a place like you mentioned where they can get developed and you know hopefully kind of fulfill their NFL dreams one day, but they're going to be taken care of as well, very very well. And you know, I think that's just kind of where we're at right now. And I don't know that it's a spot where LSU, you know, is severely behind in that area. I think it's just one of those deals where you had a number, you had, you know, a pitch and a plan in place. Other teams, you know, eclipse that, but because of dire need that they have as well. And, you know, I think that the biggest thing, one of the quotes that, or one of the topics that really kind of stood out to me over the last week is, all right, if LSU is aggressive, right, if they go out and they make this offer, they make these pitches to these guys, and, you know, they give them all this money or give them all these NIL opportunities, and then they, you know, what's that do for the guys that are already on campus? I mean, I understand that there's a need at defensive tackle here, but and really throughout the entire defense, that they have some needs. But you bring in some of these guys, and if you're paying them high six figures, low seven figures, like it could create some kind of extra turmoil there in terms of just wanting, you know, those guys to be able to in terms of just the players that are already on the roster and how they might feel about that. You know, it's a fair point to bring up. And, you know, look, I think LSU kind of went in knowing what they could afford and what they couldn't, and they weren't willing, or they you know, were outbid in their pursuit of some of those guys. So I think that part was important as well. But, you know, look, I think they have some options here. You know, it's not going to be those instant plug and play guys that you would expect to come in and maybe be instant starters for you. But like they're going to have some quality guys, I think, to bring in to help beef up the depth there. Because, I mean, the one thing that I think everybody can agree on is that they need some more bodies in there. I mean, just from a pure rotation basis, they need some extra, you know, big guys in there to where they can rotate and feel good about at least the numbers at mm-hmm. that position. And you know, there's still 81 scholarships. They have not filled out any of the, you know, the four that opened up here during the spring window. So you could look, obviously, you know, defensive tackle is still going to be something that you look at. Cornerback might be something, but, you know, there's slim pickings on the cornerback market now too. I mean, there's just not a whole lot out there. So how LSU approaches the next, you know, week, 10 days, 2 weeks with the portal, you know, we're hearing they're being in, you know, they're still in contact with a lot of these guys, and we'll dive in a little bit more of that here as we go forward.
You know, one thing I've walked away is the portal has now officially closed. You know, no one else can technically enter, but I've walked away and, you know, saying, okay, you know, this year, yeah, it's not been what you wanted in terms of, you know, getting the guys that are at the top of your big board to join your program. And like you said, I agree with the sentiment. And I think Sonny brought it up on our message board of like, you have to worry about when you overpay, because this isn't overpay. I mean, this is just what it is. Like, you're having to overpay for a premium position, what that does to other guys in the locker room. Because unless that guy, Glenn, is a day one pick, then it's going to be hard for the guys in the, you know, locker room to understand, okay, his production doesn't match the value. And because these kids, like, we're kind of far enough into NIL where these kids are kind of starting to understand how their on-the-field play and what stats equal what value. Like, they're starting to get that. We're starting to create data points for that. So I agree with you there. I agree with that sentiment. I also would add on, too, if you're LSU, and I think that, you know, you did a great piece, or you put it on a message board post about, you know, the other side of the coin, and I thought it was really, really good. If you're a subscriber, go check that thread out, because your biggest thing is we have to make sure we're not in this position next year if you're Bo Davis and you're this LSU staff. You have to make sure, because we're seeing right now, if you're desperate in the spring portal, which is, I think, an accurate definition of what LSU is at this position, if you're desperate in the spring portal window, you're either going to swing and miss a lot, or you're going to have to overpay for, I want to be careful how I say it, you know, average to good talent. I don't know if anyone in this class is going to be a day one pick. There's no Walter Nolan, you know, like there was in the December portal window. You're overpaying for guys because that desperation is so prevalent in what you're trying to do. So you have to make sure that you're not there next year. And so I think that's one of the biggest takeaways. I like what you said about the worry about the chemistry in the locker room. And I'll just add on to the fact of, like, you can't be desperate in the spring portal window. You want to be just fine-tuning the edges of, like, oh, maybe we need depth pieces. You don't want to be looking for a guy that probably needs to start for you in the spring portal window. That's my big takeaway from this 2024 cycle.
And I just want to piggyback on something that you just kind of briefly mentioned there. You can't be in this position again next year. And what's the best way to not be in that position next year? You go out and you recruit really good freshman players, really good young talent over the high school ranks. And I think that's kind of what you're getting at right here is that, look, LSU has the number two, number three class, I know, on different services in the country for 2025. They have done an excellent job recruiting that class. They are still looking for more elite pieces to add to that class. And I think what you have learned, if you have followed this over the last couple of years, is that, you know, there's only so much to go around, right? And I think LSU is making it a priority, and Brian Kelly has said this a number of times, that they want to recruit freshmen and high school players and develop them in the program. And the best way to go about doing that is to make your pitches to those players, make those pitches to those prospects, and develop them when they get here. Yeah. And I think that they are in a position right now where you look at the offensive side of the ball, that's exactly what they've done with a lot of these positions. You know, you look at a lot of these players that are going to be leading this team in 2024. They were not all portal pieces. I mean, CJ Daniels and Xavion Thomas are your two portal guys on this team. From an offensive perspective, everybody else are recruits. Everybody else are guys that you've tried to develop in the program over the last couple of years. And I think that angle of it cannot be overstated enough. Like, I think LSU prioritizes those freshmen, those high school prospects, over the occasional spring guy that you might need out of position of need. I mean, like, it's just kind of where they're at. And I think that they can, you know, we'll see if they can get away with it this year. I mean, regardless of who they get out of the portal at defensive tackle at this point, you're going to have some concerns just because there's not a whole ton of experience there. I mean, you look at the roster right now, Jacobian Guillory is like the only guy that has seen meaningful snaps in SEC play. I mean, Jalen Lee's sort of subbed in there at times over his career. You know, Sean Washington has not really had much of an impact, and you know, going back to his Georgia days when he was there at Georgia for 1 year. You know, you got a couple of true freshmen coming in, and Dominic McKinley and Demirian Johnson. You've got some walk-ons there. Like, you need to add some kind of experience, and I think that's where we'll get into here over the next couple of minutes here with a couple of the names that we're hearing. But it's still going to be a concern. I think at this point, you know, you don't know that. You don't know what you have. And I think that is a little bit in a bad spot to be in at that position. But if there's one coach out there that can develop these guys and get the most out of them, it's going to be Bo Davis. It's just, what does that look like come fall is going to be the big question.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, and I think that's got to be the hope. I mean, like, no matter what you're going to order, you're going to be able to bring in through the portal, and we're going to get to a couple of those names. You have to hope that the coaching changes, which I do believe are going to be an improvement, are drastic enough or can close the gap to where the personnel is. Because I said the camp where I don't know if the personnel largely changed for the better, especially I think we can say that in the interior defensive line. Like, you know, it didn't, and we can just say that. You know, so it's one of those things where you have to hope that can close the gap. And then in 2025, maybe the personnel grouping starts to match where the coaching is. That has to be the hope. And look, I know, you know, LSU fans, college football fans are not patient. They don't want to hear, well, now 2025 is going to be the year, especially after hearing for the past 3 years that year three under Brian Kelly is the year when he makes his move on a national stage.
That's what Brian Kelly said since day one, since he got here, was that, like, it's year three is what we're looking at here. And
yeah,
they have some very real concerns, very real questions heading into this season. I think they can survive most of them if the offense is what we think it can be. But you've got to get the defense up a couple of notches. Like, you cannot be in the same position you were in last year defensively. It won't work.
Agreed. I like how you put that right there. Well, let's get to a couple of the names. Now, these are names that have been in the portal. I would say that, though, Glenn, kind of, and not even necessarily talking to people, just kind of reading the tea leaves and looking at what's been going on, this is definitely the B list of guys they wanted to go to. These are option two for them. So we're going to start with a guy who has transferred twice already. He was at Kent State originally and then transferred to ULO and Moreau. So he's got, I guess we could consider that some type of in-state recruit in some form or fashion, but it's Aiden Huntington. This is a guy who's a native of Virginia. Glenn, I went back and looked at this guy's numbers. I mean, when you talk about the transfer portal and the good of it, this is a guy who has excelled and been one of the best at his position at the Group of Five level, and now looking for an opportunity to take a step up. I want to preface it. There's a risk with anybody you bring in the portal. There are reasons these kids are in the portal. This leans, though, for me as a guy that might be more of a positive. Hey, he is balled out. He's dominated at his level, and now he's looking for a step up in competition. Still a risk, but let's talk about Aiden Huntington, because you look at some of those numbers and you say, hey, that's a guy that LSU needs to get in the fold pretty quickly.
Yeah, a guy who appeared in 20. I mean, you mentioned the guy, just his stats. I mean, you look at him, I think it was like 16 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks last year at ULM. That'll work. I mean, that's pretty good, especially for a defensive lineman who's playing kind of inside. I mean, he's listed at 281 pounds, so he's probably a little bit on the lighter side in terms of a true interior defensive tackle. But, I think he, he has enough size and obviously enough experience now to where maybe some of those, limitations size-wise can be a benefit for him. But, he appeared in 14 games as a true freshman or as a redshirt freshman in 2021. This past season, he appeared in all the games with UL Monroe. He was previously at Kent State, so he's got some ties to another guy who we'll get into here in a minute. He's long. He's 6'1". He's got some length to him. He's got obviously power and size and an ability to get into the backfield. This is, of course, at the Group of Five level, and it's going to be a step up wherever he goes next. So I think it makes sense that LSU's pursuing him. I think there's real opportunity for him to come in and contribute. But it's so hard to project these guys out and just kind of what you know you're getting in them. He's actually got some pretty good agility too. I think I'm looking here on his on his bio page, and he's got a 38 inch vertical. He's got he's run a 4.44 in the pro agility. I'm not sure what that is. I guess that's a 40 yard dash, but if that's a 40 yard dash, that's moving, man. Like, that's a real good real good size or really good speed athleticism there. So we'll see. I think LSU is going to be pretty aggressive with him. I think they're working on trying to get him in for a visit. So we'll see if that kind of transpires here over the next week or so. At this point, he's somebody I think you feel like you have to land. I mean, like he's somebody you got to be really aggressive with and try to get on board here.
Yeah, and you go to the PFF grades. I don't necessarily take PFF grades as the end-all be-all, but they're definitely helpful, to throw, and they're helpful analytical stat to throw into the bucket when it comes to, analyzing players or what they could be. He had the second most pressures for an FBS defensive lineman. That was 46 last year. That's kind of impressive from a guy who plays the interior. That tells me he's a disruptor at that level. LSU could use a guy that not just plugging holes, but could be a disrupting force in the middle, because we've said this, Glenn, but they've got options outside. Defensive end and edge guy and edge, they're going to be able to stack numbers there. You feel good about it, but shoring up the middle, he feels like he fits that grade. And then an 83 defensive grade with PFF, that ranked first in all the Group of Five. And you kind of alluded to, it's hard to project, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. When it comes down to a Power Four now, which it is, a Power Four transfer or a high level Group of Five transfer, that's where you have to have elite evaluation if you're a coaching staff, and you have to say, hey, let's go to the film and let's see, okay, that's working in the Sun Belt Conference when he's playing Troy, when he's playing South Alabama. When we get to a game where, it's, back-to-back, you're playing Texas A&M, the next week you're playing Oklahoma, and then you're going to be playing, Alabama, stuff like that. Can that hold up consistently at that level? I don't know. I will say this. I don't expect – I mean, if he comes in and he has 8.5 sacks and 16 tackles for LSU, good grief, you found a diamond in the rough type of portal. And let's all give Brian Kelly, Bo Davis, and that, Sherman Wilson, all those guys a big round of applause for identifying that talent. Nothing's a sure thing in the portal, Glenn. And so I think, like you mentioned, you just don't know. Although this is why I do like the transfer portal, because it's a guy who, maybe lightly recruited out of high school, didn't get some of the Power Five offers he wanted. He goes down to the Group of Five level. He works his way up, and he's put himself in a position to not only cash in, but cash in on opportunity to compete at one of the best conferences in college football. So,
and he's got college experience. He's got college experience. That's huge. You don't have a whole ton of, I know it's at the Group of Five level, but you need experience. Yeah, you need experience. And I think that guy has a lot of it. And, so does the next guy that we'll talk about is CJ West that we're going to talk about. I think he's probably another one that you really look at hard if you're LSU. And so we'll, I think probably, I guess I'll take the CJ West thing since I just
mentioned. Yeah, let's roll. Good transition. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with West here, I mean, he's somebody that LSU identified pretty early in the process when he entered his name into the portal. LSU had some initial contact with him. They were trying to set up a visit. It looked like for a while they were going to get him on campus a few weeks ago. But there's the fact that he doesn't graduate until August, which I think is going to be, at least initially, it was a real kind of hit the brakes kind of deal for LSU because they still at that time had a chance with guys like Barrow and Williams. So they kind of, I think, divided their focus a little bit there with those two guys. But now I think you're kind of at the point here where you've got to circle back to West. You've got to make that point of contact again, make sure you're reaching out and trying to set up a visit or two with him. Just to try to see if there's still a lot of interest there from him. You know, he's been to Indiana. I think that's one visit he's made. I'm trying to think where else he's been, but he's been to a couple places so far. So he's a very, he's very highly regarded in terms of just what he can do. I think he's probably your best option if you want a guy who's had experience, but also is kind of your best available, I guess, is the best way to put it. I think he has 118 career tackles. He's been like a four-year starter at Kent State, so he's got a lot of experience under his belt. So he's somebody that I think LSU would really seriously try to bring in if they can, and if it's not too late. And we're still trying to grab at just what the possibilities are there. I think he's somebody you certainly would love to kind of bring in and kind of feel him out and see what chances you might have of adding him to this roster. But he's somebody that I think you could also bring in and you can expect to be a part of the rotation. I'm not sure he's an every down guy. Maybe he's an every down guy. I mean, at this point, I think if there's anybody in the portal who you could maybe say would be an every down guy, it would be CJ West. But there's still some things they need to hammer out there in terms of bringing him on campus, figuring out if he's a legit possibility to kind of add to the depth of that defensive tackle room.
And I'm looking at this too. I mean, all MAC selections, a guy like you mentioned has played 4 years. He's played in 39 games. That's a lot of college experience. The game speed factor, although the SEC is going to be a definite jump up if he joins LSU, it's different than having a young man, and I'm not questioning the ability, but a young man contributing in year one like a Dominic McKinley. This is a guy you feel like, okay, he's mature enough in the sense of understanding the college game and also body wise. I mean, 6'2", 315. That's a big boy in the middle that can, plug up some holes, can allow you to also, be a run stopping defense somewhere where LSU did struggle at times last year. You mentioned those career stats. You have 110 total tackles, 19 and a half of those for a loss, and then 7 sacks. Pretty solid. Last year, he had 7 TFLs and 2 sacks, and he was a third team All MAC selection. One more name I wanted to get to here, and this is the difference between this name and the other two. With Aiden Huntington and CJ West, you've got guys that you feel like can come in, they've played enough, they can help you right away. A guy, and Sonny said this in our Tiger Wrap, make sure you go check it out. I'm not going to spoil all of it, but Oregon transfer Johnny Bowens is a guy. Glenn, he just doesn't have the playing time. And I think that's the biggest thing is, like, do you take a guy? I don't know if LSU's in a position to say, let's go take a guy who really hasn't played, because you kind of have that on your roster. And then what does that speak to a guy like Dominic McKinley, whose recruitment came down to kind of the last couple of moments that you brought in and said, hey, you're going to be a guy that we're going to develop. It's okay for next year, but for this year, I don't know. We'll see. I think it kind of it makes the defensive tackle position maybe even more unclear for the future, because then you could lose a guy, like McKinley, if he doesn't feel he's the option in that perceived 2024 class that. But yeah, go ahead with that.
And it kind of leads into the point here where I think if you're LSU staff, if you're the program or the defense, I think you have to have serious conversations about, like, having further players moving inside. And I think we've touched on this some on the board. We've thrown a few names out there. I think you take a hard look now that the portal window is closed of you know, maybe moving Parrish Shand a little bit more consistently inside. Maybe you move a Braden Swint. I mean, one of the things that we'd heard kind of towards the end of spring, and I'll just rehash it here from Brian Kelly, is that there were some third down packages actually that LSU was working on where both Parrish Shand and Braden Swinson were the two kind of interior tackles, I guess kind of quote unquote tackles on that front four defensive line on third down. And then they'd have, you know, Harold Perkins, Deshaun Womack kind of on the outside, just to kind of get their speediest, their most athletic lineup out there, their most athletic front four, to kind of create some havoc on certain third down packages. I think that makes sense. And I think now what you might see is them kind of revisit and talk about, you know, okay, well, what does this look like if we do it on more than just a third down basis? And I'm not talking about Swinson per se, but I think somebody like Parrish Shand, who's, you know, he's up there, he's 280, yeah, 285. He's somebody that I think could hold his own on a rotational basis at defensive tackle. And look, I mean, you look at the numbers and you look at kind of who LSU is considering at those two defensive end spots. I think what we've been able to discern from the spring is that Savion Jones and Parrish Shand are both playing the same spot, and Deshaun Womack and Braden Swinson are both playing the other edge spot. Like, I think that there's a real avenue there. If you're a guy like Parrish Shand, you can't be on the field at the same time as Savion Jones. Well, yeah, what's another way to get on the field? Slide inside for a few snaps here and there and get, you know, kind of more reps, more opportunity on the field. Like, I think that could be something that if you go to Parrish Shand with that opportunity, it might be something he grabs at and wants to do. And I think if you do that, then you feel a little bit better about the situation. You don't feel great. But you know, he's somebody that I think you want to get your best pass rushers, your best defensive linemen out on the field as much as possible. And I think without question, Parrish Shand is one of their better defensive linemen, and he's kind of more versatile than the others to kind of make an impact potentially on the interior. So, you know, that's another option that LSU could certainly roll with if they feel like maybe they don't want to go out and overreach at defensive tackle with a guy like a Bowens. You know, I think you're almost in a better spot, right? If you go that route instead of maybe bringing in a guy that's just going to be there for, you know, depth purposes or someone that you're just hoping to develop over the next couple of years, because you're going to be bringing in a lot of defensive tackles, hopefully over the next couple of recruiting cycles. And the real need here for the spring was to find immediate help and not bring in somebody else that's going to clog up that room. I think that's kind of where LSU's at and kind of where they need to put their focus at.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, for people concerned with the size factor, you mentioned 275, 285 in that range. That's the size of Aiden Huntington. He's 6'1". He's, you know, a couple inches shorter than what Parrish Shand brings to the table. So, look, we talked with Parrish Shand, great, you know, interview this spring and you know, how he's preparing for this season. He mentioned that he had not been playing inside at all. I do agree that's kind of conversation, though, that as this portal window closes, depending on if they can nab those two guys or anybody else there that could help immediately, the conversation has to be had, Glenn, and I'll just end it right here with this. I think it's also interesting, too, to think about how Blake Baker is going to scheme things up, knowing that you don't have what you want in the interior of the defensive line. You have to, you know, keep that in mind. I like what you said. You can't have both Parrish Shand and Savion Jones on the field at the same time. Like, that's just – you can in this instance, we'll say. You can definitely do it if one of those guys is sliding inside. And so I like what you said there as well. But football continues to roll along. Spring portal window has closed, but it does not mean, just for clarification, that people cannot commit out of the portal. We'll continue to see how that transpires over the next, like Glenn said, 7, 10, 14 days before you really start to get into the, you know, full summer. And a lot of the guys that are graduating, it's kind of another date to watch. You mentioned, you know, a lot of the guys that are maybe late grads, you know, here in May, now they're going to start to enroll in the summer and get things going. That'll be something interesting. And that's just around the corner there. All right, we're going to wrap up this podcast with baseball, which has been, man, it's been a while since we talked about it, Glenn, but look at what LSU and Jay Johnson did this past week. And I guess I should never go to another Sunday game. I've been back-to-back, and I have been the reason they haven't been able to sweep. Glenn tries to take a little heat off me and say it's because he turned the game on in the fifth inning. But one of the big quotes that Jay Johnson said this past weekend and on Sunday, Glenn, and I'm sure you heard it through the audio and everything, was the first 22 innings. The first 22 innings of this series, LSU baseball played about as well as you could have hoped for and more. They pitched as well as you could. They got the timely hits. They took advantage of another team making mistakes. That's the recipe for a really good baseball team, and LSU looked the part for 22 innings. It's going to be easier to focus on those 22 innings per Jay Johnson and this, you know, this staff and the players. Your thoughts coming out of the weekend and really kind of a revitalized postseason hopes as they get ready to head into a midweek tonight on Tuesday and then a big series against Alabama up in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it was you put it well there. A good revitalization, I guess, of the postseason and just kind of where they stand. I think we've kind of, for a week or two now, kind of pegged 13 SEC games as that kind of sweet spot where LSU would feel at least comfortable about their status of making the NCAA tournament. You don't feel great. You don't feel awful about your chances kind of down the middle. But you know, I think LSU, you know, what it looks like now is you got to go 4-2 over the next two weekends. That's very manageable against Alabama and Ole Miss. I'm not saying it's easy. I mean, because they have played some really high intensity baseball here over the last week or two. I mean, we talked with Jay Johnson probably two or three times last week. And he said, like, we're in a game seven, we're in playoff mode every time we take the field from here on out. And that's a lot of, it takes a lot of mental toughness to get through that, a lot of physical toughness to get through that, because you're in a dogfight every time you come to the ballpark, knowing that your season's kind of on the line in the back of your head. Like they like this game tonight, they have to win it. Like they have to beat Northwestern State, just like they had to beat McNeese and Grambling over these last couple weeks. Like they've had to win these midweek games. They cannot afford a midweek slip here if they want to, you know, have a chance at the postseason. So, you know, this is a very crucial time of their season. Yeah, you know, I think the Sunday game, just my personal takeaway, it highlights the kind of the pitching depth ineptness, I guess, of this team. Like they have about, I think you can probably count on one hand and maybe a little bit in your second hand how many guys they can rely on to put up zeros consistently on the board. You know, Gage Jump, Luke Holman, Aiden Moffitt, Griffin Herring, Nate Ackenhausen, and Christian Little are probably the sixth right now that I would say are your top six pitchers, your guys that if you need outs, they can go get them for you. After that, it's kind of a grab bag of, you know, maybe we luck into a zero here, maybe we only give up one run here. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of consistency outside of those top six. And so that really puts you in a tough spot, especially when you consider the potential postseason plans for this team. But I mean, you got to get through these next two weekends first before you even worry about that. But that was kind of my bigger takeaway from the Sunday game. The biggest takeaway, though, is that, like, you did your job. Like, I think coming into this weekend, most people expected LSU to win one of those games, like maybe one, maybe you could luck into one of those games and kind of keep your postseason hopes, you know, in not in a great spot, but at least in some kind of optimistic world, you know, you could have a chance to win two of them. Puts you in such a good spot. You get a series win over a quality, you know, quad one team. You know, you saw the rankings there shoot up for LSU after the two wins there. I think they were in the top 30 at one point in the RPI, which is a good mark for any team that's hoping to get an at-large bid. So if they're able to do a decent job here over the next couple weeks and kind of ride the ship, get a couple series wins over Bama and Ole Miss, that has to be the goal. I mean, I don't think you can go to Bama and lose that series and feel good about your chances, unless you come back and sweep Ole Miss the next weekend. Like the four games is where you have to get to here over the next 2 weeks. I think you got to get four wins, and it's going to be tough. I mean, like, you know, Bama is, you know, they're not setting the world on fire. Ole Miss is not setting the world on fire, but they're two teams that are in very much LSU's position right now. Like, they're all very similar records, all playing for kind of their season right now. And so you're going to expect to get the best out of both of those teams. So LSU's got a lot of pressure facing them here over the next couple weeks, and it'll be very interesting to see kind of how they respond.
Yeah, you mentioned, I mean, the expectations in the press box. There was visiting media. There was media that wasn't affiliated with either program covering, just national media. And kind of the consensus was they kind of expected LSU to get swept and or win a game. And to exceed those expectations, like you said, I agree, completely transforms the outlook. The RPI has shot up. And, man, a path to compete. And Jay Johnson summed it up, and I'll sum it up with this quote too, where he just said, hey, we're in the fight. You know, we weren't really in the fight coming into this weekend. Now we're in the fight. We're not safely anywhere yet, but it's all you can ask for because you can't control what happened previously. He acknowledged that. This group, I think, has transformed, and he alluded to this, and so did Brady Neal on Sunday, even in a losing effort. The mental fortitude and the mental toughness of this team has feel like it has shifted a little bit in the past couple of weeks. Maybe they just needed to get out of that gauntlet of what was the first half of the SEC schedule and get some wins under their belt. But it's really starting to kind of take shape, and so we'll see what happens. Baseball's a crazy sport, and it's not forgiving. I will not love you all the time, but it's one of those that, you know, you keep plugging away, so often good things are going to happen, and LSU feels like they're trending towards that. So a big game tonight, obviously, like you said, you got to win both of those midweek games remaining, and you kind of start to have to keep an eye on bubble teams. Like, that's going to be something interesting, and I encourage fans to watch this because I'm going to be tuned into this one tonight. We were talking about this in the press box about, you know, looking at a team like Alabama where you play them this upcoming weekend, and it's just perceived because obviously LSU blew out their midweek opponent last week. Midweek games this juncture, you don't want them to be so hard that you've got to really dig into your rotation. You want to be able to take care of business. Alabama's going on the road to Troy, which I don't know how much you paid attention. Troy has been on fire, taking out the top teams in the Sun Belt. They just took 2 of 3 from ULL. They swept Coastal Carolina, who was a top 15 team in the country the week before. They're really starting to take shape. So it really does, you know, throw a wrench into things of it's kind of a lose-lose scenario for Alabama. You don't want to lose that game to Troy, but you also don't want to burn so much of your pitching staff that you can't set up how you want for LSU this upcoming weekend. Oh, and yeah, it's going to be a homecoming of sorts for Luke Holman. You know he's going to feel good about that one, pitching over in Tuscaloosa. But college baseball entering that home stretch, and LSU, like Jay Johnson said, they are in the fight, and so it's something to continue to keep watching out for. Now, the way that you can stay in tune with your LSU Tigers is make sure you get that subscription. Click the link down below, whether you're listening or watching to this. Go 24/7. Get that subscription. Join the conversation. Join the nuggets, the tidbits, and whatever that you want to, you know, get in on the conversation, as there's never a dull moment covering LSU sports. Glenn West, my name is Bryce Kuhn. We appreciate you so much for watching or listening. We hope you have a fantastic rest of your day, night, whenever you're listening to this. And make sure to stay tuned for the next episode when we hop on and talk about your LSU Tigers.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.